Hey guys, Tobin here. This episode took a while, and I do apologize, but it's for good reason. I have moved to Costa Rica. My most recent, prior to this episode, recording came from an apartment that I was staying in Jaco, Costa Rica, which is on the Pacific coast near the world-famous beach of Playa Hermosa, which is where the World Surf Championships take place every year when we're not in COVID times. So from Jaco, after living there a month, which is, it's a tropical city, right? But it's kind of like the vibe of Las Vegas in the United States, where there's lots of partying, there's lots of drugs, prostitution is everywhere. There's bars and restaurants right on the beach all the way up and down. It's a vacation spot, tourist spot. Normally, I was here during COVID and the quarantine, so there wasn't anybody from outside of the country here other than me, essentially. A few other people in their 60s and 70s that have relocated here, but otherwise, I was the only gringo, as they say, down here. So while I was in Jaco, I recorded the Pura Vida episode, which was me answering the 7 questions that I typically would ask my guests. And I've decided to restructure the podcast, at least temporarily, until I dive deeper into the communities here in the spiritual communities and start hosting retreats at my property. I have a small fruit farm that I'm converting into a boutique restaurant and resort, sort of like a country club. And I've planted it with about 60 or 70 more species of fruits, vegetables, and medicinal herbs. So this property will soon be even more abundantly productive than it is now. Currently, it grows about 35 different tropical fruits, from coconuts and plantains to mangoes and caimito and more rare things like araza, and I even grow avocados here. I have about 5 or 6 avocado trees. I have Cuban oranges. I have mandarinas. I have all types of lemons and limes. It really is quite endless, and the things I've planted are even more exotic and nutritious and superfood-like and superfruit-like. So while I am here and setting everything up over the next 12 months or so until I open this location officially to memberships and to the public for the restaurant and party nights and so on and so forth, and renting out the cabins on Airbnb, will occur in the next couple of months, probably by March 1st of 2021. And soon after that, everything else will be constructed and we'll start doing more events here. But in the meantime, my podcast we'll go over individual subjects of study. So each episode will cover a specific subject that I will just put my perspective on from my history of experience and education and wisdom that I've derived from life and things that I've studied in my own personal time or stumbled upon through the mystic nature of this universe, right? So one by one, these episodes will be recorded. I can't guarantee that they'll be the full hour that we've been aiming for with the guest in the interview, and the way the questions unravel, it just kind of works out to an hour or so. These episodes could be anywhere from 5-10 minutes, like a YouTube video, up to an hour and a half. They might even be longer, depending on the nature of the subject and my comprehension of said subject and how deeply I can dive into it. And maybe if I do have a guest here, maybe we'll go a little deeper into it and have a conversation about it and ask each other questions. But for now, it's going to be me, Tobin, flying Tobin to some of you, speaking on subjects that I've found interesting over the years and that I've studied. And I've gone beyond the surface of what the average person and the public knows of these things and really dove into the science or the philosophy of certain aspects of life, and unraveled some truths. And these truths have benefited and positively impacted my life and people around me that I've shared them with. And I believe that's the true nature of the podcast that I'm recording, is not necessarily to expose you to new questions or a certain personality, but to take a perspective on something you may have seen or heard before and bring that new perspective and new broadness of vision, that new scale of vision that you have internally in your mind's eye, and apply it to your external life, and hopefully it will benefit you. And I can pretty much guarantee that as you add knowledge to your life, and, you know, constructive, positive knowledge, it's going to benefit your life. Whether you start to utilize it unconsciously, it's programmed subconsciously, or you consciously act upon it, more good knowledge can only benefit all of us. So I sought these things because I wanted to grow, and I imagine you're listening to my podcast because you want to grow as well. And with all that said, I'm going to get into the first subject, and it's going to be something. And this is the reason I'm starting with this, is because a lot of the things I'm going to be speaking about are not normal to our society and to our culture and collective. But at some point they were, and at some point in the future they will be again. Whether I'm reiterating wisdom from ancient times, or I'm stimulating a new form of thought for the future, and it can adjust a societal philosophy to benefit everybody, who knows? It doesn't matter. Everything's cyclical, right? Time moves in cycles, and we all just kind of recycle everybody else's ideas that have been around since the beginning, because the truth of the source of the universe, there was at one point a pure language, the language of the birds, and it was a mystical divine language that the angels sang. And whatever your religious belief system, there was a point when the universe was one, and it exploded into all of these various aspects and manifestations that we now know as reality. But whether it's religion or science, there was a point where everything was in a state of oneness and still, and then it vibrated to the pace where it exploded into this creation we know as the universe or the multiverse, depending on your perspective and experience. So, when I speak on a subject, it might be something that internally makes you laugh or makes you confused because you're not familiar with it to the point where you understand 360 degrees of the subject, a spherical subject, right? Inside and out, you know it. So you're not going to laugh at it because you get the science. And the reason I'm saying this is because some of the things I'm going to be bringing up might sound ridiculous. You might know them to be a little silly in our society, or not necessarily silly, but just segmented to a specific group in our society. And you may have not acknowledged it because it might have not been pertinent to you at any specific time, but I promise you, everything that I speak on has a ton of value, and I won't go as far to say infinite value, but to some aspect of your reality, everything that I say is going to have some type of value, and I want you to come in with an open mind and understand that I'm not here to have my voice heard. I am here to share things that I have acquired in the ether that have benefited me in the physical form, in this life that we lead every day when we wake up. So, the first subject I'm going to talk about are the effects of essential oils. Now, the reason this is the first subject I want to speak about today is because it has the number one on my list of things to speak about, so it would be the number one thing that I would speak about on this list of things I'm going to speak about. A little humor there. In reality, it's because I now live on a fruit farm and a vegetable farm and a medicinal herb farm that I am really focused on not just understanding the nature of these plants, but their benefits to all living things and how we can resolve disease, inflammation issues, neurologically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, through the ingestion or the proximity to specific vibrations that nature has created for us, that the universe has put here, that God designed so that we could utilize when we need to utilize them. And we collectively as a human race do have a grasp of this stuff. Our medicines, every single synthetic medicine that's created for the sake of profit and the destruction of society and humankind is actually based on something that comes from nature. A Percocet, which is an opiate, which is a drug that has destroyed our society in the United States, at least in the West, through opiate addiction, is just based on something that's derived from poppy seed plant. And we've forgotten that for thousands, if not tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, our species and our ancestors, if they were in major pain, they broke their leg, they got bit by a dangerous animal, they were giving birth, who knows? They could go to the opium plant because they knew this, or, you know, not the opium plant, the poppy seed plant, and they could develop opium through probably cooking it of some sort, right? A little chemical reaction, and it would provide them relief from serious pain. And this was not seen as something that was terrible because it was not being sold by marketing experts and sales experts who just wanted to make profit at the sake of populations dying and getting addicted to opiates, not being able to find them and having to go to heroin. This is a modern problem because we've lost track of the nature of truth and what nature is, with the capital N, that our biggest cornucopia of pharmacology is nature itself. And I'm here on this property growing things like oregano, which is an antibiotic. You know, why do we need all these fancy synthetic derivatives that they're trying to make out of non-organic, inorganic chemicals in labs because it's a higher profit yield, when we could all at home grow oregano, dilute it into an essential oil, and consume it as needed? Or just consume, forget the essential oil thing, just consume the oregano on a daily basis, and our body is filled with a natural antibiotic. It can fight anything that it needs to fight without us having to get sick and then take an antibiotic that may have, and probably does have nowadays because of the chemicals in it, some type of side effect. So we're taking something to cure a sickness that's giving us a different sickness, but it's taking care of the original sickness. And that thing that we're taking has 1% of the oregano. I'm just using an example because there are other garlic and turmeric and ginger. There's a lot of things that are both anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antifungal, antimicrobial, antiviral. So many things that we can consume that we can also grow right in our yards are what they use in small dilutions in these medications, and then they put a bunch of other filler like gelatin and glucose and all this other crap and other things, like, we don't know, other things that can get us addicted to other products. You know, if they put some type of sugar that's also found in breakfast cereals, we're going to have cravings for breakfast cereals. It's a pretty simple combination of chemistry and psychology that, you know, these big companies pay people millions of dollars a year to figure out, and then they just use those strategies on the public. I escaped that by moving here to Costa Rica, and for my own self, I'm growing all of these products, everything from dragon fruit and pitaya to arnica to lavender to rosemary. I have growing cucumbers from Japan and peppers from Czech Republic and things from all over the planet that have been proven to be way more healthy and nutritious than other products on the market, and that seeds that have been developed that have been, you know, force-fed with GMO type injections in their genes, that, you know, they're not even the same product anymore. And as a result, those genetic modifications and mutations are creating genetic mutations in the consumer of the item. It's like eating plastic and expecting our body to be okay with it. I mean, our our body is a very homeostatic system, but when we start poisoning it, we know the effects. We know what years of alcohol can do. We know what years of sugar can do. We know what years of so many negative substances can do to the human body, yet when it comes to genetically modified things, we are very eager to jump on them because, oh, well, we can grow more food quicker for cheaper. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, and we're going to start seeing the effects of this, and people like myself who have escaped the matrix, essentially, and found themselves in a place where we can grow and harvest our own organic food that has no pesticides and no herbicides and can grow 12 months a year in a paradise. Maybe we're leading the way, but at the same time, it's not about leading the way or separating ourselves from a society that is broken. It's about finding methods to transform that society, to influence that society, because this podcast might reach 100 people, might reach 100,000 people, it might reach 100 million people over the next couple of years. I don't know, but anybody listening will know that they now can very easily grow their own medicines at home. And this conversation started about essential oils. All over the United States, and I think the world, it's like a craze. Everybody wants to sell essential oils. Everybody wants essential oils. I'm telling you right now, essential oils, I don't want to say they don't work, but it's very similar to eating lettuce from ShopRite and expecting to get good nutrition from that. There are big, giant, manipulative companies who are out for profit only, who are putting crap into these bottles, and as long as the bottles look good, people buy it, they pay any amount of money, and they die by these things. But I've applied these essential oils to myself, and they don't work. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. It's placebo. The thing that works is hearing when somebody says, oh, this type of oil might work for you. Well, I then might have that at my property. I get it, and I start to make really strong compounds. And I'm not making chemistry compounds. I'm not burning anything. I'm not heating anything up. I take the actual herbs. I dry them out in the sun, natural drying. I crush them up, and I rub them on my body for a certain amount of time. And or I consume them as food. I put them in my eggs. You know, I put it on, who knows, some type of bread, if I'm eating a bread, or, you know, whatever. You just consume the food and your body metabolizes it properly. It's different than dropping something on your skin, or it's something on your tongue. When you consume something, it goes through a process, a metabolic process, where every organ takes what it needs to when it needs in a specific order. You're not inundating your body with too much of something. You're not diluting something with an oil that your body's going to spend all the time absorbing and transforming the oil, and it's not going to get a benefit from the nutrient inside of it. It's the same way the healthiest people on the planet stay healthy for longer than anybody else. They eat their food. They eat their medicine. They stay healthy with their nutrients by getting enough sun, having fun, smiling, enjoying themselves. Essential oils have opened up a door for us to remember our past. Our health has gotten to such a bad place in the United States, our eating habits, our shopping habits, our food production habits, that we have turned to small little snake oil tinctures and hoping that they can cure us of cancer, of heart disease, of diabetes, of depression, of anxiety, and it's simply not going to happen. We need to restructure our entire mindset on how we see reality and remember that we as humans are not the alpha species on this planet. We are not the primary head species. We are very much in the middle, and that's as honest as I can be. If we're looking at a species who is super efficient, super productive, super self-aware, super attuned to reality and to truth and to purpose. We should look at trees and plants and herbs and the plant kingdom. These beings stay still all day. They're patient. They wait years before they can produce what they were meant to produce, but they always do, and they give life back to everything around them. They feed the animal species, they feed the humans, they feed birds, they feed insects. They continue to grow tall. They're never stunted. They grow up, they grow out. They don't usually grow into other trees. They find space and find room, and they live comfortably next to other trees. They coexist. There are millions of different types, and they all provide us something beneficial. They grow towards the sun. They transform air. They take our toxic air for us, and they give us back fresh, clean air. Now, what more admirable being than a plant? And we look at them
like things we can use, like things we can abuse, like things we can manipulate. And we lost track of our own selves by trying to gain mastery over species that were put here
to help us attain that mastery. And we've lost track of the fact that these plants speak to us, and we do desire intrinsically and unconsciously. Our body and our mind desire certain things, and we need to know how to remember to hear these desires. We need to focus our energies on reattuning to the ancient way, when our ancestors would walk through the forest without books, without school, and they would know how to pick which plants to provide them which nutrients. Now think about the complexity of that for a moment, but at the same time, the simplicity. Their minds and consciousness were so clear that their awareness would look at something. Their divine abilities would look at something in the forest of billions of different plants and know this was good for this, and I need to gather a bundle of this because my family needs this. And they would make their medicines, or they would cook their foods, and they would stay healthy. And then they would start selling it to other people. And then once people heard, oh, they could start growing it, and they would start selling it to other people. And hundreds, if not thousands, of generations passed by. And now we have pharmaceutical companies that sit in laboratories, and everybody with white coats and goggles on is making stuff with gloves on and beakers and all of these different things. And nobody really knows what's going on or what they're making or why they're making it. And they just know that they get paid, and that's all that matters. And somebody's going to pay them no matter what, as long as they keep doing what they're told. And they don't actually do good and heal somebody and find out what's really going on in this world. So I took this leap to Costa Rica. I bought this property. I started planting and growing all these things. I started cultivating them because we all deserve this chance again. And I was tired of sitting in New Jersey and driving through New York City for work, going to Brooklyn, going to Long Island at 4 in the morning to go to these jobs, and to be subjected to this terrible food, to be around very awesome, amazing people, and the fact that they were miserable all day because of the foods they were eating and the lack of good nutrients and the lack of a good lifestyle, no matter how much money they had, was depressing to me, and it was hurtful to me. Literally, like, hurtful. I was hurt by the life that this was the reality we were all forced to live. And I looked around, saw what planet Earth had to offer, and I realized, wow, there are a couple places on Earth where we can do this again. We can live in the frontier, essentially. You know, take it back to roaming the plains in the Wild West in the United States in the 1800s, trying to find a life for yourself and create something. What would you do when you got there? There's not going to be malls, and there's not going to be restaurants and Applebee's and stuff hanging out there. There's going to be wilderness and forest, and there's going to be plants you've never seen before and animals you've never seen before, and you've got to figure it out. maybe that's what we all need again. We need to dive back into primal living and figure out how to live in order to gain true value out of this life. But not only gain true value, but to understand how to live it. I'm forced here, if I cannot ride my bike for some reason, the 12 kilometers to town to get food for the day, I have to live off my property. So I know I have to go dig yucca from the ground and I have to figure out how to cook yucca and clean it and peel it. And then, you know, if I want something else, what am I going to eat? Oh, plantains. So I can eat plantains. I go buy plantains and, oh, I can't buy plantains. I didn't, you know, bring my backpack on my bike today. Oh, crap. Well, I got plantains in my house. I got to learn to cut them. I get a 15-foot pole with a knife on it, and I cut them down. Coconuts. No more buying coconut water. I can get it myself from my own yard now. All of these things are things I've had to figure out, but it's not a disadvantage. It's a privilege that I'm not spending roughly $7,000 a year on food like I was in the tri-state area. I don't have to drive my car to go to Stop and Shop to get things that are pointless. You know, if I want treats, potato chips, I grow potatoes. I go pick potatoes. I clean them, slice them. I put some olive oil in the pan and I make some potato chips for myself. Cost me $0, whatever the olive oil little bit cost me, so maybe it cost me 5 cents to make those potato chips. I didn't spend any money on gas. My whole entire reality has shifted in less than a year, and it's mind-blowing, but the reason I did this is because somebody had to, and nobody else around was doing it, and I'm sitting at home with this list of stuff that I wanted to talk about, and I felt like I was going to be a hypocrite, because pardon my language, but what the fuck am I talking about? Like, I can understand the knowledge behind these things. I could understand the reality and the truth and the validity behind these things. But I wasn't living them. You know, what am I going to give a talk on essential oils and the science behind essential oils and how at the quantum level there's vibrations, and when we have a dissonant vibration and there's something off in our consciousness or our body, that it's going to manifest to the macro level and create an actual disease or a tumor or a cyst or a manifestation of a psychological disorder? Yeah, of course. But I think everybody essentially knows that. That's what the whole marketing behind essential oils is. Oh, we're going to give you this little subtle energy of an herb like lavender or something. It's going to make you feel calm when you're feeling stressed. I mean, what that is we're playing with vibrations in the quantum level, right? So once we get down to the cellular level and we get to the atomic level and we start to see molecules in the human form, there's more space than there is actual physical form. And everything's staying in place because it maintains a vibratory rate. So electrons have a specific vibrational rate or vibratory rate. An atom itself has a different vibratory rate. Then you get smaller. Different molecules have different vibratory rates. You get smaller than that, and you're in quantum particles like muons and quarks and stuff like that. Quarks, I think, is what they're called. And there's, you know, bunches of them, tons of different names, but everything has a different vibrational rate. And if somewhere in the human biosphere, energy sphere, there is a dissonant vibration or a vibration that's a little off, like you're listening to a symphony and someone messes up the note in their instrument, well, in the human body, on the micro level, on the quantum level, that can rise up all the way and create a dissonant vibration to the greater levels of the outer spheres, and that can manifest in some type of disorder, and that's how we humans start to experience disease. And the idea behind an essential oil is that at one of the inner spheres, that essential oil is taking effect and it's eliminating the dissonant vibration and creating a harmony so that at the macro level, there's no manifestation of the disease, illness, or imbalance or issue. What we are doing with consuming these items, again, growing these items, becoming aware of these items, living with these items, actually like loving these items, like treating them like our family or our pets, knowing their value to our lives, and we start to personify them, you know, we really start to say, oh, you know, garlic is my friend, oregano is my friend, rosemary, this is my friend, the goji berry, this is my friend, cacao, this is my goddess, ayahuasca, this is a goddess. When we start to refer to the plants like that, we're actually tuning back into reality on the quantum level. We are showing an appreciation for the grace, a gratitude for the purity of nature that existed before our minds and our egos started complicating things. And what that starts doing, believe it or not, is it initiates the healing process that we would be desiring by one day consuming some type of medicine or an essential oil to counteract or fight something that we're dealing with at that future time. When we start to integrate into our consciousness an understanding and appreciation for the thing that could potentially heal us, we open our body up, our entire biosphere up to the opportunity for that thing to start healing us right then and there. Now, if you want the science behind this, there are particles that travel faster than light. They are referenced a lot in pop media lately, and it's an interesting thing. The concept behind this is that these particles, if they're moving faster than light, they are also moving faster than time, in a sense, or they're cutting through time differently so that messages could be sent to us from the future. We could be sending messages to the past. Messages could be traveling sideways through time. They could be traveling through parallel dimensions. Like, it's a very interesting thing. The reason I'm bringing this up is because hearing this right now and then thinking to the quantum level of what we're talking about with these herbs and medicines and essential oils and the essence of what they all represent, which is a specific vibration of something created in nature that is dedicated its whole entire existence to fixing something within our nature. Because we are so complicated. Humans are made up of all billions of different minerals and complicated machinery. Basically, humans are made of everything that exists on planet Earth in one being. So all of these things can have an effect on some small aspect of our self and our being, and it's all connected in a deep quantum way, which is a very simple way. In the quantum universe, in the quantum realm, it's all space and fluxing energy and potential, and it's directed by consciousness in what seems to be randomness. But attention directs that randomness and starts to organize it. So, let me wrap this up because it's getting a little confusing, perhaps. When we're in the quantum realm, we are free from time and space, which means we are always healed. We are always in a perfect place. Now, when we get to the physical level, when we ascend all those upper spheres, the physical level may not always represent that perfect place that we exist as in the quantum or the astral or the light plane. Because when we find our way through the psychological plane and through the emotional plane and through the trauma plane, that, you know, anything we've been through physically accumulates in our body, remembers it, our mind remembers it, and it starts reprogramming ourselves to think that it's traumatized continuously because it once was and it will be again, which is not true. We start to filter all of these different forms of consciousness, and our perfection state starts to diminish, it starts to wither, it starts to decay a little bit. So, in conclusion, the effects of essential oils aim, ultimately, their goal is to affect the quantum level in such a way that it resolves any issues so that when we start to send our energy from that quantum level up through the upper spheres, and it eventually manifests as who we are, as this avatar that we define as ourselves, I am Tobin. When I manifest up to the Tobin level that you guys see and hear, hopefully, if I've taken my essential oil and it's affected my quantum level consciousness and body and light body, that none of my traumas have affected that resonance or vibration that the essential oil gave me, and I start to gain good health on my physical level. Now, if we are always at all times consuming these things, there will be no getting sick. There will be no imbalances. Our body will have every nutrient and a perfected balance of biochemistry because the advanced machinery inside of our body takes care of everything. You don't have to worry about eating too much oregano and your body is going to overprocess it and have too much oregano. And I'm going to say this wrong, but it's like carcinitrol or something, which is the effective chemical in oregano. You're not going to get too much. The liver, the kidneys, they'll filter it out. You'll pee it out. You'll poop it out. And if you need more, you take it in. But at least you're getting enough. And this is the essence of what we need to learn, and what I hope you derive from this podcast, is that I want you to discover now. Do your research over the next 12 months. Find all the things that you've ever needed for medication, that you've ever been sick with, you've ever needed to heal from a sickness, an antibiotic, a pain medication, anything. Write them all down, and I want you to find the natural derivatives or alternatives or ingredients in those things, and start to make a list of all the foods, fruits, vegetables, herbs, flowers that you can grow so that you can replace those medicines one day if you ever need them. And then even further, I encourage you and challenge you to get that list of things and start consuming them on a regular basis in proper portions. And if you have any questions, you can message me on Flying Tobin on Instagram or Tobin Osuski on Facebook. But the point of what I'm saying is I want you to do your research, figure out what you do need to consume in your life specific to your biosphere, to you, who you are, because I know what I need personally. And we're all different. We're all very unique. Figure out what you need. Start to grow it. If you live in a climate where you can start to grow these things outside year-round, do it. Get on it ASAP, because it takes a few years for some of these fruit trees to start fruiting. But in the meantime, you can start to grow them and learn them and develop this connection with them. So it's like your child, your friend, your actual doctor is somebody you raised. Isn't that the coolest way to think about it? You know, I'm raising my doctor in my vegetable garden right now. You know, I'm eliminating the need, unless I have a compound injury. You know, I'm on my roof doing something, I fall off and my bone pops out of my leg. Obviously, rubbing rosemary on that is not going to help. So I will need an emergency acute surgeon. But for the most part, I'm never going to need a doctor again, because I have everything I need growing on property right now. And you will too one day. And I want that to be the derivative from this podcast to any listeners, is that it is feasible, but you need to do the research. You need to figure out what your needs are, what your nutrient needs are, what your medication needs are, what foods you like to eat, and then start to make lists and start to find out where you can source these things. They're usually not that expensive. You can typically buy plants for $3, $5, some more expensive ones. I have ayahuasca growing here, if you're familiar with that. I have a few other things that cost me about $30 to $50. But once you have it and you can grow it, the plant grows for life, and you can continue to grow other plants off of that plant if you know what you're doing. So it's a one-time investment in medication. It's going to last a lifetime. I spent no more than $250 on everything that I've bought here, and that's hundreds of thousands of dollars of food and medication over the next few years that I am investing in for myself. So I highly encourage you to do this. This is the way of the future of the world. Our species will not survive unless each of us individually learns to grow our own food at home, grow our own medicine at home, and then preserve that food and make the medicine potent out of these things that we're growing, so that not only we can help ourselves and become self-reliant and self-sufficient, we can help our friends and our families, our neighbors. We can teach other people to do this. And within one generation, we can take the cumulative knowledge of every species or every generation of our species that's ever lived on this planet and put it together. We are at the digital age. Everything is globalized. If we take this old world knowledge that has been cultivated for tens of thousands of years of humans and put it together right now in this generation, every single person on planet Earth could be supplying their own food and there could be no hunger issues. We just need to teach people how to do this. We need to start doing it ourselves and lead by example. So the essential lesson of this essential oil talk is you don't need anything else. You don't need any of these derivative systems of truth. Just grow your own food, learn about the food, develop a relationship with the foods, with the plants, figure out what's medicine, figure out what's nutrients, figure out what is for vitality, for protein, for fats, for things like that. Figure out what you need for your biosphere, for your family, for your neighborhood, and start to grow those things and start to cultivate the medicines and figure them out and store them in your glass jars and make your apothecary again, because the world is shifting to an interesting place, and the more self-reliant, self-sufficient humans are the ones that are going to be surviving and thriving in the future, because the things that we know, the systems we know that were not working are crumbling. And the system that will rise up is the beings that know how to survive on their own and teach others how to do it. And you guys are at the forefront of that. So I encourage you, start to make lists of all the things that you eat, you like to eat, and figure out where you can buy those things and start growing them. If you don't live in a climate that you can grow year round, look into hydroponics. It's cheap nowadays. Everybody's making these equipment. It's a big business. You can set up in your basement, in your spare room, in your den, in the unused attic, in your garage, and you can grow all your own food in a 10 by 10 square foot space. I promise you, it's being done all over. You can be at the forefront. I want you to do this. I've given you some knowledge in here. I want you guys to comment with other things that you know that I may have missed out on. But the concept, the idea of this podcast today was to stress the importance of growing our own food, because what happens, we've seen in the pandemic and COVID, you can't get bread, you can't get toilet paper. What were you going to do without bread and toilet paper? Do you know how to make carbohydrates? Do you know how to consume carbohydrates and those vitamins A, K, D, whatever they have in bread? Do you know how to get them from nature so you don't die? Do you know that there is an herb called lamb's ear that grows that is actually healthy to consume, but it grows super soft and it grows super easy, and you can use it as a natural toilet paper? And it's 100% biodegradable, and it can fertilize the ground that you can grow more lamb's ear out of. And these are simple solutions that, you know, would have prevented thousands of people from stressing and fighting and getting arrested over in the United States because they were panicking at supermarkets that didn't care about them. These supermarkets make tons of profit, and they saw chaos going on, so they stopped stocking their products. They sold everything that they had stocked. They made all their money back and more, and they didn't have to help anybody. And that's what's going to start happening more and more, is you're going to see that these people don't need to help you and they're not going to help you. You need to start helping yourself. And if you continue to listen to my podcast from now on, that's what I'm going to be giving you, is knowledge that'll expand your consciousness, that'll help your soul, your spirit, your growth, your healing, your rejuvenation. But at the same time, it's going to provide you ample and infinite knowledge. This is where I will give you infinite knowledge to expand your soul and your consciousness. And I want you to grow. I want you to learn. I want you to benefit from listening to these podcasts. And every minute that you invest you actually derive something super beneficial and super fruitful. So thank you for listening, guys. I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.